I'm not what you'd call a patient person. I'm sure I have other strengths, but let's just say I'm working on that one.
I am so sorry. No,
it's, yeah, go ahead.
No,
I insist. But I've started to realize that when something happens that really...
Oh, I am so sorry.
...provokes my impatience, there's probably something there I should pay attention to.
What's the price on that?
$319.
Oh, wait. I have a coupon for that one. I know what's in here. Hold on. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. What was the price on that one?
$4.
Oh, you could take that one off. I don't need that one.
$145.
Oh my goodness. She's price checking a bar of soap. And that's when I realized. She's price checking a bar of soap. She needs these things, and she doesn't have enough to pay for them. And then it hit me. I've been her. Anxious. Not over money. Anxious over my soul. I've been scared because I know that I need so much more than I have, and I don't have near enough for what I need. I won't ever have enough. Because none of us do. No matter what we do, no matter how many coupons we produce, no matter how we try to make up the difference when we do the math, we all fall short. So thank God. Thank God that his son came along and said,
I'll pay for it.
No.
I'll pay for all of it.
I can't let you do that.
Please, please. I want to. Will you let me pay for all this?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. But I have coupons. I have coupons.
Hey.
I have coupons.
You can put away your coupons. You don't need them. It's all completely covered. All of it.
Thank you.
Well, for those watching and listening online, good morning. Hopefully you're doing well. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. For those in the room, thank you. And man, we are wrapping up our series today on Overflow. And next week, we start a brand new series on how to read your Bible. As we close out Overflow, I want to share a story that's personal to Jenny and I. In the final years while serving at our sending church, Jenny and I made the decision to adopt through a local agency. Now, leading up to that decision, our small group was pivotal in allowing us to, really giving us the privacy to talk about it and the tension we felt. Like, we knew that God called us to be fruitful and multiply. Like it's not that we didn't know how to do that. It was more or less, it didn't work for us. And so we were feeling the tension of God calling us to grow it in a different way or in a not normal way. And so we discussed the weight of the cost of how much domestic adoption was, and it was roughly $30,000. And after making the decision and after we got approved by the agency, our group got to work. They helped us raise the funds that we were short, about $10,000, along with our family. They did a great job with helping us raise that. And I'm glad they did, because shortly after we got all the money we needed, we actually received a phone call about a baby boy in Richmond. Now, it didn't work out for us, and then we had to wait another 9 months before we were called about Brooke. Now, those 9 months were hard. They were really difficult. And our small group would pray over us for months that we would have patience, that we would trust God's plan. And it worked. And then when Brooke did come along and she was placed with us, man, they provided so much of what we needed. Diapers and formula and furniture and clothes. I mean, they did everything they possibly could to help us get set up for success. Now, it was clear that God provided through our group. Now, during the entire process, it wasn't a burden to anyone in our group to give our time, our resources, and even our money to help other people. In fact, one couple gave their car to another couple who was in need of a car. It was clear that there was satisfaction, there was fulfillment of helping others when they needed help. Our world, specifically our culture, is very committed to telling us what we need to make our lives better, right? It's advertisements, social media, even movies and TV shows often portray wealth and health as the ultimate goals, right? Suggesting that more money, a longer life equals a better life. Who are the advertisers on cable news networks? Number one are prescription drugs, followed by insurance, banks, and car manufacturers. Right, the endless cycle of buying the latest gadget, clothes, cars is driven by the belief that new possessions will satisfy us. Especially car manufacturers that are banking on the joy of new purchases being short-lived and revealing the need of the next big and better model. Now, for younger generations who find themselves on YouTube for almost an hour a day, we'll find influencers revealing that their luxury cars, designer clothes, exotic vacations is where happiness is. Well, intentionally or unintentionally, it creates this image that wealth equals fulfillment. And there seems to be this subconscious message that if you have enough money, if you have enough health, that you can live a life of ease and comfort. Now, look, I may be wrong, and I will admit when I'm wrong, but it seems like there's a tie-in with what one has and who they are. Like, culture seems to suggest that one's value and fulfillment are tied to what they have. Like, the idea is that the more people admire you, the more people envy you, the more fulfilled you will feel. Like, think about most Fortune 500 companies for a second, or even working for the government. Right, the culture often measures success by job titles, promotions, and even what type of office you have. For younger generations who find themselves constantly on social media every day, they're pursuing likes, followers, and shares on their platforms because our culture has equated social media success, those likes, those followers, those shares, with personal worth. Now, here's the tension most of us feel as adults, specifically us as parents. More money and a longer life doesn't necessarily equal a better life. Like, many of us see more money as more taxes. Like, over the past few years, the pursuit of home ownership, high-paying job, financial independence is often viewed as the pinnacle of success, but people aren't able to accomplish those things because of how much things are costing, or they do obtain those things, but it has led to stress, more debt, and a sense of emptiness because once they've gotten it, it's like, well, it didn't bring the happiness that it advertised. In fact, I've talked with a handful of men since the pandemic, and their pursuit of their career, their pursuit of making more money hasn't been worth it. I mean, they were losing themselves to their career, and they decided to take a step back. They said things like this: being able to pay for my son to go to sports camp wasn't the same as being in the stands watching them play. I've heard being able to send them to private school wasn't the same as being home when they got home from school. Being able to pay for their car wasn't the same as teaching them how to drive. Paying for them to go out to eat wasn't the same as being home for a home-cooked meal, sitting at the dinner table together. Had a conversation with a family of four who was looking at downsizing because they did not want the payment for a 5-bedroom, 4-bath house. Now, we all know this, that anything smaller than that in our area seems to be like a unicorn. In another conversation with a woman, she was trying to find care for her husband. It was hard because some assisted care living solutions are astronomical in how much they are per month. And then you also have the stigma that they're medicating people. Like they just want them to be zombies. And she even said to me, she's like, he's not living a better life. Yeah, it's longer. Yes, I have him here longer, but I don't know if it's better. See, the underlying pressure that no one really talks about in our culture is that it's up to you. It's up to me to make those things happen. It's on us to have lasting fulfillment, to satisfy our every need, our every want. Like, it's on us to make those things happen. Like, if we're married in our culture, like, there's a stigma that it's up to us to provide lasting fulfillment for that other person. If we have kids, it's on us to provide lasting fulfillment. We meet their needs. We meet their wants. And honestly, man, that all sounds impossible. And God gets us off the hook. God offers a different kind of fulfillment that is not dependent on wealth, status, or achievements, but on a relationship with Him and living out His purpose for our lives. My identity is not tied to how much or how little I have compared to others, but that I'll work hard, and God is the one who provides for my needs and wants. My identity is not tied to how many know my name, but that God knows my name, and His work in my life allows my name to be tied with integrity. My identity is not tied to how much I've achieved, but that I'm faithfully doing what He has called me to do. So in this series, we've seen that something that may seem insignificant can actually lead to an overflow. And we talked about different examples. It could be giving a percentage of our income to the local church. It could be taking an hour a week to have a conversation with our spouse about something going on in our marriage or going something on in our family. It could be taking one more meal a day to have with our family. It could be having the first 10 minutes of the day or the last 10 minutes before we go to bed and reading the Bible. That may sound insignificant, but it could lead to an overflow. Today, here's what I want to do. I want us to embrace God, who offers a different kind of fulfillment that is not dependent on wealth, status, or achievements, but on a relationship with Him and living out His purpose for our lives. And so there's a very familiar story that we're going to be looking at in John 6. And so to kind of give some context, Jesus is performing these miracles. He's this master teacher, and thousands of people are coming to hear Him do miracles and also to hear Him teach. And so the disciples saw the crowd, and they're like, all right, listen, the first solution is, why don't we just send them home? But notice what happens. When Jesus looked up and He saw a great crowd coming toward Him, He said to Philip, all right, Philip, you want them here. What's going on? Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, He asked this only to test Him, for He already had in mind what He was going to do. And Philip answered, Jesus, look, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Perhaps Philip, just imagine being him for a second. I don't think he wanted that. I don't think he wanted just to send them home. I think he really desired a different solution, which is why Jesus asked him. But imagine being Philip. I mean, you gave up your career to follow a man proving to be the next king by doing some unexplainable miracles and teaching like no other. He's drawing crowds in the thousands, and you happen to be on his short list of those he invited to be part of his work. I mean, it's a pretty big deal. Maybe it was hard for Philip to want to send all those people home. He didn't like that solution, so Jesus maybe saw that and said, hey, what do you think? He's like, look, we don't have enough money. It would take a lot of money, and we don't have that type of money. And so another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? So let's give these guys credit, Andrew and Philip, because they were willing to come up with some solutions without having to turn the crowd away. So they found a boy who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now, this amount of food didn't seem like enough to feed the crowd, but the boy offered what he had. Now, here's something to think about. It was not by accident that there was a boy. It was not by accident that there was a boy who had a lunch. It was not by accident there was a boy who had a lunch, and that lunch was provided by God. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. So Jesus, he provides the fourth solution. We're not going to turn them away. We're not going to collect an offering. But I want you to give me this boy's lunch. I want you to give me the lunch. See, Jesus made it clear by giving thanks for the food that he was revealing that God is the source of all our needs. It's likely that the crowd, which was made up of about 5,000 men, not including women and children, were divided into groups of 50 to 100 per Mark's record of everything. The disciples, the people, never saw this coming. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled, believe this or not, 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Philip had to be beside himself. I mean, maybe this situation was growing his faith as Jesus tested him with that question. See, there was an overflow from a boy's lunch of salted fish and pita bread. Well, there are 2 takeaways from this miracle. The first is that God may provide differently than we expect. Like, we go back to the story, there are 4 solutions, right? The first solution is, look, this is impossible. Let's just send them home. Solution 2, we don't have enough money to make this work. Solution 3, we have something. We have this happy meal, but it's not enough. Solution number four, Jesus was able to do what no one else could do, multiply what was given back to him. And this is the miracle of multiplication. God can take what we perceive as small or insignificant or insufficient, and he's able to multiply them beyond what we can imagine. See, the boy's willingness to give what little he had, combined with the power of Jesus, resulted in an overflow for thousands. So I want to talk to a few groups of people here. For those who are single or single again, God may provide a spouse differently than you expect. In the meantime, he desires that you give him your trust while doing the work and preparing yourself for that relationship. For those looking for a house, God may be providing something different than you expect. And in the meantime, he desires that you give him your trust while preparing yourself financially with principles he provides through the Bible. For those looking for a new job, God may be providing something different than you expect. And in the meantime, he desires your trust. He desires that you work hard where you currently are. And for those looking at growing your family, God may be providing something different than you expect. And in the meantime, he desires that you trust him, that you prepare your home, and you prepare your marriage for that addition. Notice the second takeaway. God desires to provide more of himself to us. He is our greatest need. Without Jesus being present on that day with that happy meal, no one would have been fed, because he can do more with what we give him than anyone else. He's showing his power when we give him what he's provided to us. As we give him what he's provided, we're able to see him do more than we could ever imagine. Now take a moment to think about how this is taught throughout the Bible. Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord. When I recognize that he's my greatest need, what will happen? He will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, his right way of living, and all of these things, all the needs that I have to live on this earth, will be given to you as well. I'm reminded of something that John Piper once asked. He says, what is the greatest root of your joy? What God gives to you, or what God is to you? As we wrap up our series Overflow, I want us to see that God is the only one that can meet our needs. He's the only one that can meet your ultimate need. He's the only one that can complete. He's the only one that can fill you. He's the only one. So this glass represents your life and my life. And there are some things that we often seek to fill our lives. We're pursuing, you know, that bigger paying job. We're looking at getting maybe that bigger house. We just want to be liked. We want to make sure people like us. And then we want to have success in every area of our life. We want success. No matter what we pursue, these things will never fill us. Will never complete us. It will never meet our greatest need. There's always going to be a gap with what our culture offers us. There's always going to be a gap. There's always going to be longing for something more, wanting more, desiring more, praying for more. See, what God reminds us is that He is unlimited, that He is the only one able and capable to meet our every need. And so what He does is He fills us up. He's the only one that can fill the gap and close the gap and actually lead to an overflow. I'll be careful. I don't want to damage my computer. Here's what I want us to realize and recognize. True and lasting fulfillment comes only from God. He's the source of all things. He's the source of all things. Here are three things to think about before, well, hopefully I don't spill this. What is one thing that you haven't given to God that you should? Number two, looking back at your life, where has God shown His power? And number three, how can you share God's overflowing provision in your life with others? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for an opportunity to remind us that You are the only one that can complete our every need. Forgive us for trying to pursue things to fill us. Remind us that You are the only one that can complete our every need. All those things are good. Car, a house, relationships, stuff. Like those are good and yes, necessary to live in this world. But You remind us that we ought to pursue You first, and those things will be added to us. So help us to give our attention to You. For those in the room who are skeptical when it comes to faith, when it comes to, hey, I don't think I really need God right now, I ask that You will soften our hearts to recognize that we do need You, especially when it comes to our relationship with You. It was broken because of our sin, and Jesus is meeting our greatest need by stepping in. And so I ask for those who are yet followers of Jesus, they will make a decision to trust that Jesus did what they could not do. He stepped in. Father, for those in the room who are followers of Jesus, that we would pursue You first. Whatever step of faith that we need to take this week, that we would do it. And it may seem insignificant, but I ask that You remind us that it can lead to an overflow. So help us in Jesus' name. Amen.